You're listening to episode 297 of Women Worldwide. Let's talk about emotional intelligence. Are you bringing EI into the workplace with your customers, colleagues, and partners, and into all of your daily interactions? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for tuning in and for showing up and for sharing, which really helps to grow this network. And when you do share, you're also letting us know how you feel and what's going on in your world. And that's why we continue to bring the guests who inspire, motivate, and offer advice for you. So let's get right to it, the topic and special guest. The topic is emotional intelligence. So how much are you putting your emotional intelligence hat on, your EI hat, in all of your interactions, whether you're at work, with friends, with your family, and how much are you harnessing your emotions? Well, this is the perfect segue to my special guest today. Joining me on the show is Andrea Hoban. Andrea is the co-founder and head of learning at OG Life Lab. She's also a certified coach and a speaker, and she helps professionals to harness their emotions. Andrea, it is so nice to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's really wonderful to be here and share a little of what I know with women worldwide.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you because emotional intelligence is really important, for any person, professionally and personally. It's being able to kind of get a handle on your own emotions so that you can work with others. And that is something that you're doing quite a bit. And before we dive into EI and all of your great work, maybe you can just share a little bit about how you got to wanting to go down a career path of emotional intelligence and helping professionals and coaching.
Yeah, sure. It's a kind of a long, circuitous journey, like most are, I think. but I started my career in corporate America and climbed the ranks as a sales manager and became a regional vice president with a big $30 million territory, and found that the part of that job that I loved the most was training people to be the best they could be. And when I could see light bulbs go on and see that, you know, that was magic for me. And so that led me down a path of wanting to do that work more often. And so eventually became responsible for job skills training at the organization I worked at, and found that my passion really fell into the leadership development and coaching area, where I could work with people so that we could have more of those breakthrough moments and insights together that help them do the things they wanted to do and be the persons and people that they wanted to be. So that's what led me to get certified as a coach, to work as a coach, to leave that organization and work independently for a while, and realizing along the way that emotional intelligence really is such a foundational set of skills that set the stage for so much more of what we want to do as leaders or as people or as members of families, etc. That you have to have your ability to recognize what you feel, some self-awareness around what's going on inside, so that, like you said, you can harness their power and their wisdom of your emotions to help you accomplish what you want to accomplish. So that's a little bit about how I got to this point.
That's excellent. And you did definitely just pinpoint something that's so important around the emotional intelligence discussion, the fact that you have to be aware of what's going on with you. And, you know, what is it? There's a lot going on in our world where emotions do run high. Mm-hmm. So if people are feeling challenged, and whether it's affecting you in your work environment or your home environment, what are some of the ways that perhaps you can get to being more aware or more emotionally intelligent?
Yeah, well, let's first just like name this moment, as you just said. You know, 2020 is such a crazy year. And
sure is.
At the beginning of the year, we polled, hundreds of people across the United States to ask them what was the most predominant emotion that they were experiencing. This is back in March. The answer then was anxiety, mm-hmm. which makes logical sense. You know, at the heart of anxiety is this feeling of uncertainty, that things that matter deeply to us are out of our control. And that feeling has been amplified, shall we say, as we've moved into the fall here and just went through an election. All of these things add to this feeling of anxiety. So I hear a lot about that. I also hear a lot about people feeling deeply sad or worried or angry. So there's this roller coaster of emotions that we've been riding this year. And we may have this idea that we should just ignore them. Maybe we learned that in early childhood, that some feelings kind of weren't welcomed or to be expressed or even felt in our families of origin. And so when the going gets tough, we have this tendency to kind of compartmentalize or pretend that we're not feeling these big emotions. So that's a long runway to answer your question, which is...
It was needed. Thank you.
Yeah, we can't make much progress unless we first identify and acknowledge that we're feeling those things. I mean, we can't...
Right, to ignore them, you're not going to be able to manage anything.
No. I mean, there's no potential or possibility in if I just pretend that I'm not anxious, but meanwhile, my heart is pounding and there's a brick on my chest and I'm worried about everything and I can't focus during the day and I can't sleep at night. So for me to acknowledge like, yes, I am anxious. Wow. That's a big feeling. It's really physically uncomfortable and mentally, I'm just crawling out of my skin. So, okay, that's where I'm at. What do I want to do about that? And that's really where emotional intelligence really begins to be a practice in action, because there are lots of things we can do to regulate anxiety. And I mean, I could pontificate for hours about that, but you know, just getting back to your question, I think that's why self-awareness really is the key here, because once you kind of tap into that inner state and learn that there are big feelings there and maybe some subtler, smaller feelings that all of which, when we pay attention to them, can really be a guide as in terms of where we want to go or what we'd like to do.
Can you talk about a little bit the action steps that you just mentioned? Because I think it's important for women worldwide out there to understand that maybe there are big steps. And maybe there are just some small steps that they can do right now to help them feel more aware and present and understanding their own emotions.
Yeah. I should say I get the great chance to work with the founding director of the Yale Center of Emotional Intelligence.
Oh my
and,
goodness!
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So, yes, he's also a co-founder of OG. And it's really his model of emotional intelligence that I work with all of these professionals around the world. And so I say that because it's not that this is Andrea's great idea about how to regulate. That what I'm about to share are approaches that have been backed by science and show really work. And they're not super glamorous.
And they don't have to be.
No, I think sometimes we're looking for like the silver bullet or a magic fix. And sometimes the best strategies are ones that take a little planning and might be downright boring. What I mean is, are you getting enough sleep at night? Do you go to bed at the same time? Right? Are you eating things that are nourishing and healthy? Or are you junking, you know, eating a lot of junk food and feeling the roller coaster and the crash of carbs and sugar? Are you drinking a lot of alcohol? That's definitely a proven way to amplify anxiety and other very unpleasant emotions. And so we could say, and I've heard this from our friends at the Yale Center of Emotional Intelligence, that we're really regulating our emotions all of the time. You know, if I'm angry and I yell at someone, that is me down-regulating my anger. All of that energy got out of my system by me yelling at someone. But it's probably not the best way to manage my relationship with that person.
Especially if you're in the workplace.
Exactly. So I need other ways to release that tension. So all in, I would say I would break out regulation strategies into two big categories. The first is action strategies, things like getting enough sleep, eating well. Action strategies could be working out. It could be taking a deep breath. Anything that helps me shift my body or my environment could be a very effective way for me to shift how I'm feeling. The other big category are thinking strategies. How can I see a situation differently? How can I talk to myself differently in my head? You know, that voice that we have?
Yes.
Yes, very critical at times. So how can I change the narrative to either see myself or others differently? And again, create more possibility in a situation where I can feel that emotional shift.
This is all really helpful. I know that you have an app.
Mm-hmm.
So this app actually helps people to understand emotions. Maybe you could just share a little bit about that.
Yeah, and it might be counterintuitive, right?
I'm just going to say, because here we are using technology to help with emotional intelligence and emotions.
Yeah, and so I would say, first of all, we don't think of it as an app. It's a program that lives on a digital platform, and it's not something that you passively swipe through. It's really basically 2 days of facilitated training broken up into little steps. So that if you did a step a day, you know, you'd spend 10 minutes thinking about your own emotional intelligence, looking at building skills of recognition so that you could regulate your emotions according to your goals. And part of that process is including live sessions. So you do some steps on your own, you reflect and make relevant what you're learning in theory, and then you have a chance to join other people in these live group sessions to consolidate what you've learned and be able to take it into practice. So
this is helpful technology.
Yeah, it's more like a, you know, using technology to create a learning experience that's probably better and more efficient and effective than sitting in a classroom for 2 days. And we couldn't have done it even 5 years ago with based on how many people have a smartphone at their disposal. But now, I mean, it's ubiquitous that we have it with us all the time. And so to use it as a way of really dropping in and building skills of recognition and practicing regulation, really what I see from the thousands of people who've been through the program, that little bit every day over a long period of time is the difference between habits that don't serve them today and shifting their practices over time where they're really able to observe and see differences in their interactions with their colleagues at work or their loved ones at home and feel more emotionally balanced as a result.
Absolutely. I mean, seeing the differences and, of course, how you feel.
Yeah.
That's a telltale sign, you know, that it's working. This is all very important. And personally, I think technology is great for learning. And it's wonderful how you can learn on your own, but that you have these open group sessions, which I think enhances learning as well. So being that this is a little bit of a shift, but being that you were in corporate America doing what you were doing, you made the pivot to entrepreneur, you have OG Life Lab, you have this platform, very, very different. There's a lot of success in what you're doing, but any challenges, anything that you didn't expect or that came up, and how did you navigate?
Well, I mean, yes, like 1,000 things. So the one thing that that's really top of mind based on your question is, you know, we're a venture funded and backed organization. And so as we grow, We always have to go back and start asking other firms to invest in us. And, you know, in essence, we're asking them to believe in our vision.
Right.
And, you know, you really are putting yourself very directly out there for people to say yes or no, like we like what you're doing or we don't. And so that, you know, can create a lot of, I think, personal vulnerability for me, like, well, do they like what I've done or not?
Right.
And, you know, we get a lot of no's. And you have to learn, and I have to say, I have a great business partner who has such great perspective on these things and has really helped me shift my own narrative around that. It's not like a personal, I'm not saying no to Andrea. They might be saying no to where our financials are at the moment or how many customers we have, or, you know, who knows, there's 1,000 reasons they could be saying no that have nothing to do with this person right here. And so that reckoning with how personal I can take things and regulating that accordingly has been big. But I think even the bigger meta lesson is you have to believe in yourself. You have to have such passion and purpose behind what you're doing that it doesn't matter that these people say, no, not right now, call us in a year. You know, I feel like I'm in a far different place having gone through this a couple of times, because I do believe in what we're doing, and it doesn't matter that someone says no, I'll still keep proceeding and we'll find a different way, because I know what we're doing is really helping people. And I think having that kind of personal backbone has been a big shift, especially out of corporate America, where the focus is always like, how do we get this thing through the system and what diplomatic skills do I need and how do I need to bend like a reed in order to, I feel like I've had to really be more forceful as a leader and really more grounded in my own belief than I had to be even holding, director roles in my past. So again, that to me has been the big lesson. I mean, it's simple.
I think that's awesome. I mean, those two lessons, I remember somebody asked me recently, what would you tell your 21-year-old self? And I said, not to take anything personally, you know, especially in the business environment. So, you know, we're definitely on the same page there. And I also remember doing a solo Women Worldwide episode recently about you have to believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, then why would anybody else want to believe in you? So,
yeah, I think a lot of women too have this not good enough. I always think of it as a not good enough button that can be pushed.
Right.
And when that gets triggered, all kinds of emotions come out.
They sure do.
And so again, these regulation skills have been personally very useful to me. You know, how can I change my thinking to change my self-talk or shift my environment in a way that helps me get grounded back in what I know is true, that what I'm doing is valuable and what I am doing is enough. And that's the other thing. It's never enough. So, you know, I even named my inner critic. Her name is Mavis.
Oh, Mavis. That's so funny.
Sometimes we have talks, Mavis and I, and she's just got to simmer down a little bit and just know that I've got this.
Exactly. And know that you're going to, anything that takes you out of your comfort zone, you sort of have to understand it's not going to feel good sometimes. You have to find the courage. It'll be a different situation, but always believe and be your best champion. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and also that self-talk is super important as well. Andrea, what about stress? You know, as an entrepreneur, you have a handle on your emotions. I'm sure you recognize stress. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you do to combat your own stress that you might want to share with our listeners and viewers?
Yeah, well, I spend a lot of time at a desk and a computer and in front of a Zoom screen. So I find that the antidote to that is to move. So I start, I would say at least 5 days a week early in the morning with a yoga practice that I do by myself. And so that keeps my shoulders from riding up to my ears and alleviating some of the physical stress. And the other thing is in the evenings, getting out and walking, just moving is a big important, like I said, antidote to stress. And also, you know, coming back to recognition of emotion, stress is oftentimes this big umbrella term that we use to say, I'm stressed. Yeah. But we could mean many things when we say that. And so to be more discreet and specific about what it is I'm stressed about might actually point me in a way of rectifying the root cause of why I'm feeling that. Meaning, maybe I'm feeling pressured, which is different than stress. Stress is feeling like there's not enough resources for the demand that's required of me. Pressure is a feeling that the success depends on my performance. It's coming from the outside.
Right.
Right. And that's a different feeling. Or maybe I'm frustrated, which is a feeling that a goal or a sense of progress is being blocked. So if I can start getting at, like, what am I actually feeling frustrated, or am I feeling pressured by someone or something? Where is that coming from? Then, or maybe I'm overwhelmed. That's something I actually find that I deal with a lot. You know, somebody said to me recently, I don't feel like I'm working at home. I feel like I'm living at work, you know, with so much of, right. You know, we're working remotely so much more often, that managing work-life balance, managing my work day, because I don't have a commute and I could just keep working and working and working, you know, overwhelm is this feeling of being drowned either by tasks or feelings or responsibilities. And there's only one person that can change that, and that's me. So if I can really put my finger on what it is I'm feeling, then I have a much better chance of being able to, again, come back to a sense of emotional balance and feel less stressed.
Yeah, I find stress interesting because sometimes I can actually feel that stress can be a positive. But totally. It's such a different way of looking at it. It's almost like that little extra oomph. And maybe it's that little drive of adrenaline for something new that you haven't done, but it's more an eagerness than a stress. So I try to look at stress differently, because you're right. It comes in all shapes and sizes. And if you just lump it into one big stress bucket, then you don't really get to something, a way of what's the cause and how do I handle it?
Yeah. And you bring up something really important in this perspective, which is stress is not always bad.
Right.
Right. Stress can be the thing that amplifies a top performance. You know, it is possibly unpleasant in its feeling, but it does have an urgency about it, and it's an energized feeling. And so maybe I have a deadline this week and I'm going to bend over backwards to meet that deadline because I feel passionate about what I'm doing and getting it right and getting it done. That kind of stress can be very good stress because, you know, again, it amplifies our ability to perform, and there's an end to it. So the good stress is often the kinds of things where we marshal our resources and there's an end in sight. Chronic stress is where we feel that way all the time and there's no respite from it. And I think that's where, again, we start understanding, like, is this just, what is it? Is it overwhelm that feels like stress? And how do I create some way of feeling pleasant or really grounding myself again so that I can go back and fight another day? So yeah, I would say that's the big distinction is to the stress, is there an end at the insight? And if not, then I might want to look at, again, the root causes of what might be depleting me and what are the consequences if I stay here.
This is really good, breaking down the stress. I'm sure everybody out there is appreciating this conversation so much. Andrea, I can't even believe that I'm at the question where you get to give parting advice to women worldwide. What do you want to say to the network?
I would say that if you have had this habit of ignoring your feelings, feeling like they make you weak or anything, that there's some narrative about that, I would say, see if you can stop judging what you're feeling and instead get very curious about them and see what kind of wisdom or information they have for you that, again, can be used to shape your future actions. As you said when we started, you know, emotions can be harnessed. And so, like we just talked about with stress, can I harness that feeling of stress to really push me forward in a way that serves my goals? And if so, that's great. If I'm feeling stressed because I'm overwhelmed and I'm tired and I'm fatigued and I need to do something to change that, then I listen to that. I don't have to judge it. I just have to say, here I am. And now what can I do about it that puts me back in a place where I can feel grounded and ready to ride the roller coaster again tomorrow? So I guess that would be my primary advice, is to listen with curiosity, listen to our emotions like we're our own best friend.
Listen, be curious, and don't judge. I think that's really good advice. And last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, thank you. You can find us at oglifelab.com. That's spelled O-J-I. O-G is the Italian word for today, by the way. And we chose that word. We spell it differently because if we said it in English, it would be Augie. So we spelled it O-J-I. But the idea is there's only one day you can do anything about the things we've talked about today. And that is right now.
Yeah.
And so here we are. And today is the day we can change something about the way we view our emotions and what we do with them as a result.
Love it. Can people connect with you on LinkedIn? Are you?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just right. Andrea Hoban. It's pretty easy to find me there. I was trying to think of other social networks. I think that's probably the best one because I'm really not that active on other ones. So there you go.
Well, I hope people find you at OG, and I hope they check you out on LinkedIn. And thank you so much for coming on, sharing your journey, giving really great advice about emotional intelligence, harnessing your emotions, and the whole stress discussion was so helpful. So thank you.
Thanks for having me. This has been really fun.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you to all of you for tuning in to Women Worldwide. Please keep the conversations going and the feedback coming. And if you want Women Worldwide updates, you can go to our website, womenworldwideshow.com, and sign up there. Okay, friends, be well. And until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.